Today our country celebrates the birthday of its first president, George Washington. George Washington is hard to pin down religiously. He certainly manifested faith in God in his words and actions. He was comfortable speaking of faith in general terms and in encouraging others to pray for help or in thanksgiving. And he considered religious devotion something valuable in citizens in a republic. And yet, it is hard to pin him down more specifically than that. It's hard to identify him as being a strong Christian, since his religious practice was spotty, and he declined to enter into disputing about, or perhaps even thinking about, theological doctrine. We also cannot call him a deist, since he certainly believed that God intervened in events in his life, including his military battles. And he definitely was not a secularist, seeking to push religion out of the public square. One thing that is distinctive about Washington is his support for religious liberty. And we as Catholics can especially appreciate this. At the time of Washington's life, most different kinds of Protestants had a very negative attitude toward Catholicism. The Catholics of Maryland, after they had established religious liberty by the Toleration Act in 1649, then lost it a few decades later when things changed. And they suffered under strong restrictions on the practice of their faith for all of the 1700s right here, leading up to the American Revolution. In the midst of that struggle for independence, George Washington wanted to make it clear that Catholics could expect that they would be truly welcomed and would flourish once the United States won its independence. He ordered all the soldiers and officers in his Continental Army to cease their annual practice of burning an effigy of the Pope. And he enforced this order, and the practice stopped. Now, to be sure, Washington saw this as a way of gaining important allies, politically and militarily, in the Revolutionary War. But it was not only this. It was not only a tactic. For as we look at other parts of his life, including later on as president, he stands out as someone who really did believe in religious liberty. The Second Vatican Council taught us that all men are at once impelled by nature and also bound by a moral obligation to seek the truth, especially religious truth. They are also bound to adhere to the truth once it is known, and to order their whole lives in accord with the demands of truth. It continues, however, men cannot discharge these obligations in a manner in keeping with their own nature unless they enjoy immunity from external coercion as well as psychological freedom. And thus the Council argues that all governments need to allow religious liberty based upon human nature, so that all people can fulfill this duty given to them by God, to seek Him, to seek the truth about Him and themselves, and then to live out the truth they believe that they have found. And this living out is an essential part of religious liberty, as the Council emphasized especially to the communist governments of its time 50 years ago. Not only a freedom to believe something behind walls and locked doors and there to engage in some form of prayer and worship, but to be free to live out those religious beliefs in all areas of their lives. This teaching of the Council is consistent with what we heard from our Lord Jesus today. For yes, there are things that belong to Caesar. There are appropriate roles for government, and we have appropriate duties toward government, and we are to fulfill those. And yet, in his words, we see that there are things that do not and never will belong to Caesar, but belong only to God. This has never pleased any form of Caesar to hear these words. And yet, it is something that we seek to live out. We heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles how from the very beginning, the apostles, when faced with an order to cease speaking and cease living out publicly their faith in Christ, risen just days before, that they said, we must obey God rather than men. And so it is that we continue to teach this and seek to live it out today. This is a very current topic, which our bishop and the bishops of Maryland have spoken of in recent months. As they have spoken of and put out a statement about the importance of religious liberty, including right here in Maryland, and they identify different restrictions that they see arising, which they want to warn against. Restrictions against healthcare institutions and workers being able to live out their conscience. Restrictions upon different institutions and independent employers and so on with regard to when same-sex marriage laws are passed. And right now, with the mandate of Health and Human Services related to national health care, which is putting forward a particular and unusual new restrictive view of religious liberty that the administration has been advancing on several fronts. As I've been reading, I see that it's actually a very consistent view being put forward in several different areas of law. Consistent and wrong. Because it is moving the line. It is moving, and even the language is moving, from freedom of religion to freedom of worship. And it seeks to establish a very strong division between a private practice of worship and of simply teaching the faith and seeking to convert others, and allowing this to be free from government interference. But that across that wall, the moment that anyone seeks to do anything beyond this, through the motivations of their faith, to reach out in education, to reach out in acts of charity, to reach out in service, to reach out in healthcare, that as soon as someone seeks to reach beyond those walls, that freedom stops. And that person, we, are then subject to any rules that the government chooses to put upon us, even when they're in violation of our religious beliefs and our conscience. As citizens, we have the opportunity in our democracy to speak up for religious liberty. Religious liberty has characterized the United States from its beginning. We saw how this was the view of the president whose birthday we celebrate today. Like our first president, we need to speak to our fellow citizens and to our government officials, asking them, like George Washington, to value the place of religion in American life, to put in place protections for conscience, as Washington did, to make our public square a place where people of all different religions can flourish, to protect what the Second Vatican Council said so that we are free to seek the truth about God and to live that truth out. And as our Lord Jesus said, to make us free, to repay to God what is God's.